Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The number of martyrs who are under rubble is 1,000, according to the figures of the Ministry of Interior. Work is underway to extract them, though we don't have heavy machinery to do so.
Israel's continuing to bombard Gaza for an 11th day as the humanitarian crisis grows, with water, food, and electricity running out in the besieged territory. As President Biden goes to Israel to show support for the Israeli government, we'll go to Gaza, where the death toll from Israel's bombardment has topped 2,800. We'll speak with the longtime Palestinian human rights lawyer Raji Sarani, a recipient of the Robert F. Kennedy Award for Human Rights, still in Gaza. We'll also go to Ramallah in the occupied West Bank to speak with Sari Bashi of Human Rights Watch and to speak with former Israeli peace negotiator Daniel Levy. His recent interview on the BBC went viral.
The Israelis would say, well, look, you know, we are defending ourselves. We are targeting Hamas targets in Gaza. We are trying to put an end to what we believe is a terrorist organization once and for all.
Can someone credibly tell me that when the leadership of a country says we are cutting off food, electricity, water, all supplies to an entire civilian population, that they're targeting militants? I'm sorry, these kind of lies can't be allowed to pass.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Gaza's humanitarian crisis has deepened after an 11th consecutive day of unrelenting attacks by Israel on the besieged Palestinian territory. Health officials say the latest Israeli airstrikes and artillery fire killed at least 71 people, including attacks on Rafah and three homes in Khan Yunis. The strikes in southern Gaza killed and wounded civilians who'd heeded Israel's order to evacuate the northern half of Gaza. Since October 7th, Israel's attacks on Gaza have killed 2,800 people, over a third of them children. A figure does not include an estimated 1,000 additional Palestinians trapped under rubble of homes and businesses. With no water allowed in Gaza and no fuel for desalinization plants, residents have been forced to tap Gaza's only aquifer, which is contaminated with sewage and seawater. Fears are growing over the spread of disease as garbage piles up and sewage goes untreated. The UN reports 20 of 23 hospitals in Gaza are only partially operational, with critical shortages of fuel to run generators needed for life-saving medical devices. Painkillers have run out. Blood banks are running low. The World Health Organization says among those most at risk are 84,000 pregnant women in Gaza. As of Tuesday afternoon, the sole crossing point between Egypt and the Gaza Strip in Rafah remains closed, with Israel continuing to deny entry to a caravan of aid trucks lined up on the Egyptian side. This is Maria, a British Palestinian girl whose family spent days trying to escape Gaza.
I'm, like, really in fear, and, like, every time I just have to have the thought of me dying in a bomb in Gaza. Like, it's not a good thing. And, like, every place I go run away, and I just find bombs, and I find dead people. And, like, maybe one day I'll end up like them, but it's a really scary thing for me.
More than 1,400 Israelis have been killed by Palestinian militants, most of them killed October 7th when Hamas launched its surprise attack. On Monday, Israeli officials said 199 people are being held hostage by Hamas, about 50 more than previously reported. Over the weekend, hundreds of protesters gathered outside Israel's defense ministry in Tel Aviv, demanding an end to the violence and the safe return of the hostages. The United Nations Security Council has rejected a draft resolution calling for a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. The resolution was introduced Monday by Russia and won the support of Gabon, Mozambique, the United Arab Emirates, and China. Six countries abstained, while France, Japan, the United Kingdom, and the United States voted against the ceasefire resolution. This is Russia's ambassador to the UN, Vasily Nebenzia.
Today, the entire world waited with bated breath for the Security Council to take steps in order to put an end to the bloodletting. But the delegations of the Western countries have basically stomped on those expectations.
This week, Russian President Vladimir Putin is traveling to Beijing for talks with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Over the weekend, China's foreign minister said Israel's war on Gaza had gone, quote, beyond the scope of self-defense, unquote, and amounted to collective punishment, which is a war crime. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken returned to Israel Monday to continue talks with Israeli leaders, capping a weekend whirlwind tour of Qatar, Jordan, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt. Blinken said President Biden will depart for Israel today in a show of solidarity as Israel's military prepares for a ground offensive in Gaza.
Again, make clear, as he's done unequivocally since Hamas's slaughter of more than 1,400 people, including at least 30 Americans, that Israel has the right and indeed the duty to defend its people from Hamas and other terrorists and to prevent future attacks.
Blinken said Biden would later visit Jordan for talks with Jordanian King Abdullah II, Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Biden's trip comes after the U.S. Navy said it's dispatching a second aircraft carrier strike group led by the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower to the eastern Mediterranean in support of Israel. On Monday, thousands of Jewish Americans and allies marched on the White House to demand President Biden press for a ceasefire in Gaza. More than 50 people were arrested for nonviolent acts of civil disobedience. This is Eva Borgwart, a leader of the group, If Not Now.
Everyone here is going through unimaginable pain, and through that grief, we are determined to stop this genocide because we know the warning signs. And so we are blocking every entrance to the White House or as many as we can stay there for because President Biden has not been listening to the voices of American Jews and Palestinians and allies who are saying we cannot try the same thing that has not worked for decades here.
On Capitol Hill, a group of House progressives has introduced a resolution calling on President Biden to push for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Missouri Democratic Congressmember Cori Bush, who co-authored the resolution, said the United States bears a unique responsibility to exhaust every diplomatic tool at our disposal to prevent mass atrocities and save lives. We can't bomb our way to peace, equality, and freedom, Congressmember Bush said. In Bridgeview, Illinois, just outside Chicago, mourners Monday laid to rest Wadia Al-Fayoum, a six-year-old Palestinian-American boy who was stabbed to death in an anti-Muslim hate crime. The boy's mother, Hanan Shaheen, was left hospitalized with serious injuries after Saturday's assault by the family's landlord, who reportedly shouted, "You Muslims must die," during the attack. The landlord appeared in court Monday to face murder charges. This is Deanna Othman, a Palestinian-American high school teacher and community member who attended the funeral.
We're seeing the repercussions of the rhetoric that our government has been spouting and that, you know, a lot of media has been spouting regarding Palestinians, painting them as, you know, less than human. And so, unfortunately, this young boy has paid the ultimate price for that.
Ohio Republican Congressmember Jim Jordan says he believes he has the 217 votes needed to become the next Speaker of the House when representatives gather for a floor vote today, with all 212 House Democrats united behind New York Congressmember Hakeem Jeffries. Jordan can only afford to lose four Republicans. Jordan founded the far-right House Freedom Caucus. He currently chairs the House Judiciary Committee. The House remains at an unprecedented standstill while Republicans are unable to agree on a new Speaker. The Biden administration's reached a long-awaited settlement in a landmark class-action lawsuit brought by the ACLU and migrant families separated at the U.S.-Mexico border under former President Trump. If approved, the settlement will bar the federal government from enforcing a blanket policy to separate migrant families for at least the next 8 years, only allowing the practice under limited circumstances. The deal also includes relief for migrants affected by Trump's zero-tolerance policy, including permission to remain in the United States, access to legal services and work permits, medical and mental health care for families dealing with trauma, and housing benefits. The ACLU said at least 4,500 children and their families will be impacted by the settlement. ACLU lead attorney Lee Glernt said in a statement, quote, "While no one would ever claim that this settlement can wholly fix the harm intentionally caused to these little children, it's an essential beginning," he said. President Biden's himself faced backlash over harsh border and immigration policies, which have also led to the separation of asylum-seeking families. To see our coverage, go to democracynow.org. In California, a 29-year-old asylum seeker from Guinea has reportedly died while being held by U.S. immigration officials in an open-air detention camp along the San Diego border. U.S. Customs and Border Protection provided few details of what happened, and a cause of death has not been determined. Immigration and human rights groups had repeatedly warned of heat waves and other dangers faced by thousands of asylum seekers, including babies and toddlers, detained in the outdoor Border Patrol desert camps near Jacumba Springs. The agency has been accused of failing to provide adequate food, water, hygiene products, and medical care. Erica Pinheiro of Al Otro Lado said in a statement, quote, "This is the first death, but will not be the last if Border Patrol continues to use these camps in a futile and inhumane attempt to deter migrants rather than process them expeditiously," she said. And in Virginia, at least three environmental activists were arrested Monday after locking themselves to equipment temporarily shutting down the construction of the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Dozens of protesters descended on the site yesterday for the peaceful action.
For the water we drink!
For the water we drink!
For the place that we call home!
For the place that we call home!
For the air we breathe!
For the air we breathe!
For the water we drink!
For the water!
Among those arrested Monday was indigenous lawyer and activist Tara Hauska. The controversial $6.6 billion pipeline would go through Virginia and West Virginia and carry 2 billion cubic feet of fracked gas across more than 1,000 streams and wetlands in Appalachia. The project has long had the backing of powerful West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, the biggest recipient of fossil fuel money in Congress. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
The death toll from Israel's bombardment of Gaza has topped 2,800. After Israeli airstrikes killed at least 71 people in the southern Gaza Strip. The attacks came just days after Israel ordered residents of the northern Gaza Strip to head south. Gaza's Civil Defense Force estimates at least 1,000 Palestinians remain trapped under rubble from recent Israeli strikes.
The number of martyrs who are under rubble is 1,000, according to the figures of the Ministry of Interior. Work is underway to extract them, though we don't have heavy machinery to do so. We are exerting individual efforts by civil defense personnel with some excavators. From Gaza Valley until the governorate of Rafah, there are only 2 excavators working, and in each operation, an excavator gets damaged and we postpone taking up martyrs until we fix it.
Earlier today, the Gaza Ministry of Health announced Gaza's only oncology hospital, the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital, will be forced to close within 48 hours due to a lack of fuel. On Monday, UNRWA, the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency, warned that Israel's siege is having a devastating impact on civilians.
No supplies have come into Gaza since the 7th of October. Nothing. No fuel, no food, no water, no other types of assistance. No supplies have gotten into Gaza since the 7th of October. That I can confirm, not for UNRWA and not for other UN agencies. There continues to be no water for the vast majority of the population in Gaza. We're talking about 2 million people in the Gaza Strip who do not have water. And water is running out, and water is life, and life is running out of Gaza.
On Monday, U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken announced President Biden will visit Israel Wednesday to show support for Israel following last week's surprise attack by Hamas that killed over 1,400 people in Israel. During the attacks, Hamas and other militant groups seized as many as 250 hostages, most of whom are civilians. On Monday, Blinken said a deal is being developed to resume the delivery of some aid to Gaza.
To that end, today, and at our request, the United States and Israel have agreed to develop a plan that will enable humanitarian aid from donor nations and multilateral organizations to reach civilians in Gaza, and them alone, including the possibility of creating areas to help keep civilians out of harm's way. It is critical that aid begin flowing into Gaza as soon as possible.
President Biden is also expected to travel to Amman to meet with Jordan's King Abdullah, the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, and the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Biden has so far refused to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. And on Monday, the U.S. voted against a ceasefire resolution proposed by Russia at the U.N. Security Council. On Monday, more than 50 protesters were arrested at the White House in demonstrations calling for a ceasefire. The protest was organized by Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now. The head of U.S. Central Command, Army General Michael Kirilla, flew into Israel today as the United States continues to rush ammunition, air defenses, and other weaponry to Israel ahead of a possible Israeli ground invasion of Gaza. We go now to Gaza City, where we're joined by Raji Sarani. He's the award-winning human rights lawyer and director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights in Gaza. He's also the 2013 Right Livelihood Award laureate. He's on the executive board of the International Federation for Human Rights. He received the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award in 1991, also twice named an Amnesty International prisoner of conscience. And years ago, when he was denied entry into the United States, it was former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, among others, who advocated on his behalf to secure a visa. On Monday, he shared this message with his friends. Quote, "Good morning from Gaza. The most wonderful city I loved and wished to end my life on its soil. Terrible and unbelievable, the criminality. We did not sleep from the bombing, freedom and dignity so costly, and we are ready to pay our lives for it. No right to give up. I am so proud of my people, unbelievable courage and strength. Keep the strategic optimism. Love and hugs to you all, my friends." Raji Sarani, you're in Gaza City. We spoke to you a week ago. You have remained in Gaza City, which is in the north of Gaza. You have not moved south. Can you talk about what's happening in your city and why you've chosen to remain there?
Hi, Amy. You know, I mean, Gaza, 85% of its population are refugees, and they suffered the Nakba in 1948. And there is the conscious and subconscious of Palestinians having always the Nakba in their minds and hearts. And what Prime Minister Netanyahu asked people of Gaza day one, he asked Gazans to leave. His Minister of Defense, he said, no electricity, no water, no fuel, and no food. And from the first minute for their reaction, they began to bomb everywhere and made sure no safe haven in Gaza. Much more than that, they were targeting civilian targets. And later on, they asked people in the north of Gaza to move to the south. as if the South is the safe haven. But when people, even hundreds of thousands of them, moved to the South, the Israelis bombarded them. More than 170 were killed en route to the South. The last 2 days, the South have had the hell of bombing and the concentration of bombing of the Israeli F-35 and the smart bombs of GBU-31, 32, 37. The most smart American bombs are targeting everywhere. So they left nothing. Why should we be good victims for criminals who do war crimes at the daylight in the front of the whole world, and the world is watching? I cannot be, good victim for the Israeli criminal occupation in this sixth war launched against us after a blockade of 16 years and after occupation of 55 years. After 75 years, we have no right as a Palestinian to do another Nakba. We will resist that because we knew the disaster which came to the Palestinian people 75 years ago. Israel is criminal. Their criminality, it's not a secret. It's aired at the real time, and the whole world watching it. And those who are backing it politically, militarily, are complicit and part of the crime committed against Palestinian people.
And Raji Surani, how are the people, you and others, surviving without water, without electricity, without fuel?
I'm proud of my people because with all the might of Israel, the strongest army in the Middle East, towards Gaza, the 365 square kilometers, and after a blockade of 16 years in the most dense populated area on Earth, which is lack of everything, they are still strong, still surviving. They didn't give up. They have no right to give up. And they are managing. We have death everywhere, in the streets, and the sky, and the death coming from the sky, from the sea, from the archery, everywhere. I mean, there is death and destruction. With that, I mean, people having super fantastic social solidarity, and they are trying, I mean, to resist this aggression once and again. We have no right to give up. I'm very proud that I'm Gazan. I'm very proud I'm Palestinian. I'm very proud that we are not good victims for the criminals.
And when you hear the report now that President Biden, in the midst of this colossal war crime that is being committed, is going to travel to Israel?
I don't know why he and Mr. Blinken insisting on bringing humanitarian aid, as if we are animal farm and all what people need, food. I'm telling you, 1,200 children has been killed in Gaza. 950 women has been killed in Gaza. More than that, we have 7,000 injured people who are hundreds of them in very critical conditions. We are having 1,200 under the ribbon. People cannot uncover them because we have no means to uncover them in Gaza. And the civil defense was bombarded and 7 of them has been killed. More more, I mean, even hospitals were asked to evacuate. To evacuate to where? Like, you are imposing this penalty, on injured people who are treated in the hospitals. And thank God, I mean, doctors, nurses has the courage to say, no, we are not going to evacuate bombas. And they are, you know, doing all this horrendous act. Is this the most moral army on earth who bombed schools of UNRWA used as shelters with thousands of people? Is this the most moral army who cut water, electricity, food supplies on civilians? Is this the mighty Israel? International law, international humanitarian law, and the human rights, it's there to protect civilians at the time of war. That's why Geneva Conventions are there. That's why Rome Statutes are there. That's why ICC is there. I mean, civilians need protection. They need to have a safe haven, but not only food. We have a prolonged occupation. Nobody talking about occupation. We have a crime on our skins, on our beards. The deaths of people in obscenity way, I mean, Israel dealing with it. And then, I mean, this is Blinken and Biden bringing some food and medicine to the animal farm. We want dignity. We want the freedom. We want the end of the occupation. That's what we want. They have to stop these atrocities. And that's if there is something called a free world, civilized world, should call for. Why U.S. supported Ukraine? Because Russia invaded and occupied Ukraine. They give them political support. They give them financial support. They give them military support. And they ask Americans and Western Europeans to go and fight for the freedom of Ukraine, to end the occupation of Russia. We are occupied 55 years. The Nakba in 75 years. We want to have an end for this occupation. We are not the criminals. No just or fair occupation on earth. All international human rights organizations, name it. Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, Euromed Human Rights Network, FIDF, even Israeli leading human rights organization, B'Tselem, and others, they said, we have to hold Israel accountable for the crimes they are committing and doing, even before this war. With this war, I believe Mr. Biden, what he should say, stop this aggression promptly, immediately. Stop attacking civilians. End the occupation. Give the Palestinians dignity, freedom, and their independence. That's what we want from the free world. We don't want one more bag of flour. No. We want end of the occupation. We want dignity, and we want freedom.
We're sticking with you, Raji. It's a little hard to understand as you speak on the phone, but rarely do media organizations have people on the phone from Gaza. It becomes increasingly difficult to hear what is happening on the ground there. So we appreciate and will at democracynow.org, the transcript of this conversation will be available. I wanted to ask you about the State Department memo that was revealed, warning diplomats not to use the word de-escalate. And an Israeli military strategist saying, our goal isn't turning Gaza City into a parking lot. Our goal is to turn Gaza into a Hamas-less region. Can you respond to that, Raji?
Hamas, Fatah, PFLP, Jihad Islamic, competent. They are part of resistance. Israel has a problem with them We have no problem. There is rules of engagement between military. We have no problem.